And it's brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change.
985 The Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich in honor of fairness. I will take this telephone call. A church in Florida on a 700 and some odd dollar order stiffed the young woman who put the order together and then saw that she had mentioned something on social media, then turned and called the Outback Steakhouse when she was fired.
I read the story, by the way, and it actually went a little bit differently. So what happened was someone who was a friend of this woman who posted the stuff on social media told her to take it down. She didn't take it down. So that woman snitched on her and called the church. And so the church, the reason they called was because they said, according to the news story, that they wanted to tip. They wanted to make up for it and tip her.
No.
Well, you say no, but that's what the story's reporting.
Well, the story I have is different than that.
Okay, well, that's what the story says.
Well, that's not what my story says.
And then Outback, because they have the policy about not complaining about your customers, they fired her, which is ridiculous. You shouldn't fire her.
Well, this church called, and
well, because they wanted to tip. They said, oh, we're sorry,
no,
we want to leave a tip.
They also brought attention to the thing and ultimately got fired.
Yeah, because they wanted to make it right.
Well, they didn't. They didn't have the wherewithal. All they did was make it worse. Derek, go ahead. Derek, I'm giving you the floor, sir. Please.
Oh, sorry. This is, for me, sorry. First time caller, long time listener. Love the show, guys. I'm a
Thank
pastor
you.
And sports fan. I used to watch the Patriots when they used to go 2-14, the days of Grogan, you guys know it. Anyway, I just wanted to call in because, you know, just didn't want you guys to lump all churches into the same category.
Oh, I do. I do. That's all I want to do.
It's unacceptable for this church to go ahead and not tip. It gives a bad reputation, making a Christian seem really stingy. It's not the case. You know, I've been working 3 jobs. My wife and I, we pastored a church. We planted a church 7 years ago, just trying to make ends meet. And I am a strong believer in tipping and tipping well. I think, you know, Jesus said a great. He said, give to Caesar what Caesar's, give to God what God's. And I just want to say, guys, love the show, but just please don't lump everybody.
All right, Derek. Derek, you are truly a man of God, and I do appreciate the fact that you are going against the grain, obviously, and tipping well. Thank you. I appreciate
that.
All right, there you go. Derek, exception to the rule. All right, so, Rich, there is a show out now.
Mm-hmm.
Because
I'm surprised you didn't hear about this because you're a daytime TV guy, right?
Yeah.
Okay, this is one of those shows that's on like 2 in the afternoon.
Oh, I thought it was prime time.
No. This is one that's on and locally. I don't know what channel it's on, but it's like a 2 in the afternoon one.
Okay, so all right, no, I have not seen this.
All right.
So it's not a 2 in the afternoon. It's not on any of the. I don't watch a lot of like the big 3-4 networks during the day, but maybe that's where it's syndicated on. But, Rich, explain the show. I don't really know a lot about it.
Well, maybe we'll just let the intro do a little explaining.
Funny, you should ask. Absolutely correct, both of you. Where every question gets a funny answer.
Iguanas can only reproduce 1 month out of the year.
That's because they suffer from erectile dysfunction.
Funny You Should Ask is a half-hour television series that puts the funny back into the game show.
Okay.
Well, right. You heard Howie Mandel.
Howie Mandel, only one of the stars. So the way it works is there's a host who I'm host guy, hosty McHost guy.
By the way, I did read about this, Byron Allen.
Allen is behind this.
He's worth like $2 billion.
Yeah, like Byron Allen, like the 3 a.m. talk show host, Byron Allen?
From Real People.
Oh, okay.
God.
So how the show works is that, as he said, hosty McHost guy just goes up there and he reads a trivia question, and up on the stage is a panel of 5 different comedians, and you see what they do is they give you a funny answer before they give you the real answer,
right? And they've not gotten these questions in advance.
No.
This is all off the cuff.
No, these have not been producers did not write half of the answers.
Bruce Valanche is in the background. I've got this.
Yeah, that's right. So you have to guess whether or not the answer that the comedians come up with is correct, and that's how you win points. Now, would you like to know who some of the people on the dais are?
I would love to.
Okay, that would be John Lovitz, the great John Lovitz.
Sadly,
best guest we've ever had in studio.
The worst guest we've ever had.
Easily.
the yes. worst yeah. guest we've yeah. ever had in studio. Jack A from 227.
Well, whoa, whoa. Hey. A little eye candy.
You a big fan of Bill Engvall, are you? He's the clean comedian.
A lot of these guys don't seem they would need the money, but okay.
Dave Coulier? Get a little Dave Coulier on here.
They just go like, let's get the worst comics in the world.
Howie Mandel.
No, Howie Mandel's got to be a loaded.
This has got to be a favor, or you know what? Unless he's like one of the producers, like okay. unless he's got like, if he has something to do with it, fine. Louis Anderson. The great Louis Anderson.
Dad was mean to me.
Yeah, he used to beat me with his shoe and put me in a closet. Isn't that funny?
That's how I would eat.
Billy Gardell. He's the one who's not Megan McCarthy from that show with the... We're huge and we're laughing.
Hey, look at us. We're fat.
Tommy Davidson.
Ooh. Tommy Davidson, arguably the least funny famous comic in the world.
Tommy Davidson.
Arguably. He was on the Magic Johnson show and was fired.
From the Magic Johnson show?
You know how bad you have to be fired from the Magic Johnson show?
Tom Arnold is on there.
Yeah. He supposedly has some tape of like Trump saying all these things that he wants you to think that he has, so you'll put him on your show.
You also have Cedric the Entertainer.
Again, a guy who should have plenty of money.
David Alan Greer.
Who's actually a funny man, but okay.
Is David Alan Greer funny?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't remember.
Maya Angelou used to do.
On In Living Color?
Yeah.
See, I don't remember that skit.
I mean, not In Living Color, but he hosted Saturday Night Live one time and did Maya Angelou, and it was very funny.
And so many more. So I'm going to play a little game with you guys, okay?
Yes.
And that is going to be, I will play you the setup, and you have to try to guess what the one-liner is that they deliver.
Oh, Fred's going to nail this.
Right. Stop that talk, John.
I will give you the setup, and I believe this first one is directed towards John Lovitz.
Okay.
Okay, John Lovitz.
7 Viagra tablets are sold every second.
Okay. 7 Viagra tablets are sold every second. What is John Lovitz's retort to that?
That's 60 erections in a minute. I don't know.
He's just going to do math?
Okay.
He's just going to calculate in his head?
I think you're on the right track.
No, I guess not. He's going to say,
how's business doing?
Oh, okay. Business is rising.
7 Viagra tablets are sold every second.
Yes, sales just keep going up and up and up.
Thank you for the hint.
And of course, the crowd loses their minds.
Ah! Is Happy just constantly playing?
It's part of it. Yes.
Okay.
All right, Fred. Here's a setup. I think this one is to Cedric the Entertainer.
What is the fear of marriage called?
Okay. What is the fear of marriage called?
Okay. I like my money-itis.
John?
Jesus. I have no idea. I'm drawing a blank. I like my money-itis.
Okay, I like my money-itis or the fear of marriage or, oh boy. I'm just going to say I like my money-itis.
What is the fear of marriage called?
Common sense.
I'll stand by my answer.
Yours is better.
Yeah, I'll stand by my answer. I think I made a better joke than Cedric the Entertainer.
Maybe you did. All right.
And it was a home run.
It was a home run joke. Huh?
Which casino game has the best odds for a payout?
Okay, which casino game has the best odds for a payout?
ATM.
That's a winner, yeah.
Which casino game has the best odds for a payout?
The ATM.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Freddy T. This is your wheelhouse.
I'm a hack.
Damn right. Fred's got this one on lock.
Man, you might be good at this. All right, Fred, let's see if you can get this one.
Albert Einstein is famous for saying, the hardest thing in the world to understand is
women.
Oh, what's that?
Women.
Well, I think that's really the answer. I think it is women.
Oh, okay.
Damn it. That's the actual answer.
Einstein.
And I should let you know, it's Louis Anderson who's answering this one.
A father's love. I'm so happy with that answer.
Oh, okay. Louis Anderson. Okay. McDonald's menu.
Yeah.
Okay. The hardest thing to understand. A calorie chart. Hardest thing to understand. Mrs. Fields cookies.
You were swimming in the right area for a moment.
Damn it. I broke my mic. Oh, God. The calories on a menu, the dessert menu.
No, it's got to be a specific food the way he was looking at it.
No. Fred was like that first. Ooh.
The McDonald's menu, the Cheesecake Factory menu, McDonald's menu, whether to get McDonald's or Burger King.
You want to hear the answer?
Yeah.
Albert Einstein is famous for saying the hardest thing in the world to understand is what?
The lady at the drive-thru. Because I'm fat.
All right. I'm giving myself a half a point.
Yeah, I will give you a half a point, too. You got pretty close on that one. Got pretty close. All right. Billy Gardell, let's see what you got with this one.
Johann Sebastian Bach grew up with four brothers who all became composers.
Okay. What were they called?
The Osmonds. No. Four brothers.
Johann Sebastian Bach.
Skid Row.
That is Sebastian Bach.
Hang on. Now, I have to give Dan credit because this is the Bach Street Boys.
Johann Sebastian Bach grew up with four brothers who all became composers.
Yeah. The Bach Street Boys.
Oh, my goodness, John Wallach.
It was Dan. I got to give Dan credit for that one. I didn't think of it. That was Dan.
No credit for it, John. I want to help you out.
I appreciate it.
Dan is sitting there like a bump on a log.
I had no idea.
See, I'm giving them too much credit.
Okay. Give it to Dan O'Brien. John,
wow, way to ruin the joke.
What?
Wow.
Congratulations.
No, Dan, he gave you credit. You can't get mad at him.
Not bad. Do you want to keep going?
Yes.
Okay. All right. I think this one. This is a Howie Mandel special. All right, a Howie Mandel special.
He puts a glove in his face and blows it up.
He does, and the world loses it. All right, you ready? Here we go.
It is illegal for a driver to hold a mobile phone while driving over in Germany.
Okay, and what is that? What is it called when they do that?
Oh.
Howie Mandel.
It's going to be a Nazi joke. No.
Ray just completely goes in a different direction. The crowd starts laughing.
Okay.
Wait, what's the question?
It's illegal to
Kurt Schilling's cackling at home.
Right.
Yeah, it's illegal to use a cell phone while driving in Germany. What's that
all right,
called?
All right. Well, what is the type of phone call when you get
Autobahn. Something with the Autobahn. Fit phone in there. Autobahn.
Yeah, you got to think Howie Mandel humor.
Yeah.
Howie Mandel humor.
Lederhosen.
You're driving without you're talking on the phone without your hands.
Oh.
In Germany.
I'm sorry.
It is illegal for a driver to hold a mobile phone while driving over in Germany.
That's Hans Fried.
Oh. Yeah, that's. I'm glad.
These are the biggest groaners of all.
I'm glad my mind didn't go there.
All right, we'll end it with a Louis Anderson one. Okay. All right. You ready? Okay. Here we go.
What do you call a large group of eggs found in a nest?
Omelette.
That's good. I'll go with that. That's good.
No, you're just going to go with
I think Fred's right.
Okay.
Omelet, no?
Omelet or breakfast.
What do you call a large group of eggs found in a nest?
A grand slam breakfast.
No! Nails it again.
All his jokes are just a fat. Someone put it. What do you call it when you wake up from a dream? Having a gun that you can put in your mouth.
And then Happy plays in the background.
Happy.
I just want to end it all. Sometimes contemplate just going underwater and never coming up.
Young comics, come stay at my house. Nothing's going to happen.
Read any comedian's book that came up in like the late 80s. Louis Anderson was very nice and would let you stay at his house. Let David Spade just come stay. I just love young comics.
Time to earn the rent, boys.
Insinuated. It's certainly insinuated. I am not out of line by saying
so
that.
Funny You Should Ask is now on the DVR. It's ready to go.
Awesome. Got,
that's a weekly game.
Oh, yeah. I could do an all Louis Anderson edition.
Yeah, because it's all food.
I want in, though. I want in on this. I want next time for Mike in the other room to do it. Because I want in on this.
Howie Mandel
joke. Howie's always a bad pun. He's always a bad pun.
But the Howie Mandel joke was so bad that, like, there's no way.
Yeah.
Like, there's no Hans.
He said he reptile dysfunction at the beginning. I mean, in a Hans-free device, it's bad puns.
That's funnier.
Louis Anderson's food.
Yeah.
Oh, and of course, there's the whole, like, what's her name? Sherry Sphere? Is she the one that's on the talk? Is that the one that's on the talk? There's also some comedians where it's all, every joke's about being black. Like, there's Louis Anderson's always about being fat and eating. Howie's always a bad pun. And then there's ones that it's always about being black. And then there's another one. Oh, Gabriel Iglesias is always about being fat. That's another one.
Wow, well, they've really stacked the case.
And then John Lovitz is like slightly depressing. Every answer.
Yeah, why is Mike Myers so special?
Admit it, Toucher. It turns you on.
And Rich.
Every mother's dream.
Toucher and Rich.
I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
95, the Sports Hub.
Celtics have already lost the Eastern Conference lead. LeBron dribbles free for a deep three and buries it. And the Cavs are up by 10.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. I apologize for my voice. I am trying to fend off the flu, which apparently is everyone in the world is sick.
You got some Tamiflu going?
No. I no one in my house is sick. I just I'm just because I go on vacation on Saturday, so I just know it's going to hit Friday.
I had to drive to. There was none in downtown Boston last week. I had to drive to Everett and go to one of the 24-hour CVSs there to get Tamiflu, because everyone's got it now.
All right, so Tamiflu, like, prevents the cold?
It's like a, what is it, a prophylactic, I think? You take it, and it helps lessen the ability for you to get the flu.
Okay.
Yeah, well, my son got it, so all of us had to pop those things like Tic Tacs. It's no fun. Have you got the shot, the flu shot?
I have.
Okay.
I've gotten the flu shot, but apparently it doesn't cover this particular strain of flu that's going around.
There was a kid. Matter of fact, my youngest son went to school the other day, and there were only 6 kids in his class everyone was out. One kid in the class got flu A, got better, and then like a week later got flu B. So they're both floating around out there.
Great. Yeah.
So it's... Yeehaw! I think it's the worst since like 2009. They're saying.
Well, great, and it's right before vacation, so that's fantastic.
Well, we couldn't go. We couldn't go out of town because of it.
Yeah.
So I mean, it sucks. It's awful.
All right. Something else that sucks and is awful is the Celtics of late.
Yeah, they have been ever since London. They won 6 of their last 14, and the way that they're even before that happened, you could kind of see some signs of trouble, and that was the fact that they'd have all these miracle come from behind wins, but they were coming from behind.
Right.
And it would be these huge double digit deficits that they would get into. And I like that they have the kind of makeup to fight through that, but I don't like the fact that this is consistent. They're consistently falling back. And this defense that's so vaunted or that's so praised that everyone loves. And I mean, it's been nowhere to be found the last several games. And if there were any games or any stretch of games that they should have been circling on the calendar, it was the last 4 or 5, starting with Portland. And then you had the Raptors, Washington, which they squeaked by in overtime.
Yeah.
Kyrie had to save their ass at the end.
Blew a 10-point lead with 5 minutes left in that one.
Kyrie had to save their ass because Kyrie was mediocre in the middle of the game. And he's kind of been that way. He's slumping under the radar right now. And I know that's saying a lot because the guy's averages seem fine. But I expect a little more out of him.
You know who the Celtics miss? I mean, this is the first time all season you could say they really, really miss Gordon Hayward.
Right, because they're statistically a bottom 10 team in
scoring. You have a second consistent scorer, a guy who can drop 20 points a game. I mean, and that won't go away. I mean, Hayward is a proven pro who can score 20 a game night in and night out. And in a situation where you have guys seemingly running into walls, you know, rookie walls, or sure. Jaylen Brown has hit a wall. I mean, that's a guy you can lean on and say, okay, these four guys don't have it. Gordon, we need you to go for 30 tonight.
Yeah, bet.
And this is really the first time all year, these last two or three weeks, where you look at it and go, man, they could really use him.
They're a better team than this. But bad stuff happens in February. But I've been concerned for a while now that they just can't be consistently good. Like, they can't let this, like, a quarter, like, every one game, even the good games, have a quarter where they just crap the bed. And as Scal was saying with us earlier, the great teams, championship teams, don't let that happen. And you're not going to be able to claw your way back against a team like Toronto. The way Kyle Lowry's playing as of late, where he's just absolutely dialed in, and it's great team basketball, you can do that against maybe even the Wizards without John Wall. But you can't do that against a team that's fully loaded. Now, there was one thing that was kind of funny yesterday. The same way you can't really draw a ton of conclusions right now with how the Celtics are playing, you sure as hell can't draw a ton of conclusions with one game off of the Cavaliers.
Right.
Unless you're Brian Windhorst, which we have compared to LeBron James's barnacle
here
before.
Go.
A guy that just...
I can see Fred's face shutting down from here.
LeFou, once again, no one plays like LeBron. No one shoots like LeBron.
Has there been another national guy who's for his entire career, because you go Ed Werder with the Favre thing.
Sure.
But has there been another guy, a national guy, whose career has been spent following one guy?
Just made one by one guy? I can't think of anything.
There's one person I can think of. Remember when Bonds was popping, the whole Bonds thing for about 5 years? Pedro Gomez would, like, follow him around.
That's true. But that was ultimately an investigation.
When he was working for ESPN.
But that was ultimately an investigation, correct?
No, it kind of started with the home run chase and then kind of segued through that. But Gomez had a reason to be there for about 5 or 6 years.
Okay,
yes.
5 or 6. Okay, so fair enough. Windhorst has been doing this since LeBron James has been in high school. Now it's at a national level.
Windhorst is a leader in the clubhouse. You just asked for another example.
Oh, right.
Without a doubt. So he tweeted this last night, Brian Windhorst, after the game, which the Cavaliers did kick the asses of the Celtics. He put, "Some of the highest and lowest moments of LeBron's career have happened at TD Garden. He shed tears of joy and pain in that locker room, been embarrassed and emboldened. It's a transformational place for him. Another chapter today." Holy moly, midseason game.
I know.
That was a transformational game because there's all of a sudden a bunch of new players that they haven't ever played together, and they go in there and they go nuts. All right. So we know everything we need to know about LeBron. That's all it took. All it took was to get the Derrick Rose and Jay Crowder, which, by the way, Jay Crowder had a good game today. Isaiah Thomas had a good game the other day.
We'll see.
We'll see. Isaiah Thomas having a decent game with the Lakers because I got my superpowers back.
Yeah, one game. Yeah. He came off the
bench.
He's
becoming insufferable.
Everybody's just got to take a deep breath.
It kind of makes you wonder what it was like when he was here. I mean,
it's a credit to Brad Stevens, and it's a credit to Danny Ainge.
Yeah. But he also said a lot of stupid crap while he was here, but it was forgiven because he was so exciting.
Yeah, but he didn't say nearly the amount of crap.
Yeah, I know, but
you can get away with a lot. You're right. You can get away with a lot when you're scoring and you're winning games.
And he has a chip on his shoulder, and this is the way that he's always done things because he's small.
That whole Brinks truck thing kind of didn't go unnoticed, but it was kind of glossed over because he was scoring
it was
35
forgiven.
A night because
he was leading
his team to the Eastern Conference Finals. That's true.
Yeah, it didn't seem ridiculous, but if you look back and you put in perspective what he's doing now, it's not like he wasn't doing any of this when he was in Boston.
Yeah, but I mean, it's for Windhorst to come right out and say, well, that yesterday was
ridiculous.
It was a game changer for LeBron James. It's a better team. We don't know what the hell it is.
Well, they're athletic now.
They're younger, hungry, and they're
much better defensively.
And they've shaken up just the scene. I mean, you had a bunch of people bitching about each other. The culture of the locker room has to be better than it was.
Give Kobe Altman a lot of credit. I mean, you trade away six and get four guys, all of whom were better than the six you shipped out.
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing. But just real quick about Kevin Love, they need him. They need him. All of those guys they brought back are nice. They're all spot-up shooters. They're very good role players. Maybe Rodney Hood could develop into something. I thought the Celtics should have drafted him out of Duke. He's a very good shooter and can create his own shot, unlike the other guys who left. But ultimately, in the playoffs, it comes down to whether or not Kevin Love can be a good number two. Because none of those guys, maybe Hood, maybe not, but none of those guys they brought in can be a running buddy to LeBron in the playoffs. You need a guy who can score 20 or 25 consistently. We're talking about Gordon Hayward. Kevin Love has to be that guy in the playoffs for Cleveland to go anywhere.
When's Love supposed to be back?
He's traveling with the team in March. That was about a
month
yesterday.
A month, maybe a little less.
So he'll be back for the playoffs, it seems like.
All right. Well, that's... Yeah, when you get a star back, that's a big deal. But on Paul Pierce night...
Oh, we got to talk about something that... Because, I mean, this is... I called it with Danny Ainge, but there is a former teammate of Paul Pierce's who just is as petty as it gets.
Yeah, and we will hear about that also. I like the fourth quarter, we want Paul Pierce chant that was going
that
on.
That was pretty funny.
That was great.
It was funny.
It was true.
Put Paul in.
I can't believe that ceremony was an hour.
Yep.
Did everyone stay whole hour?
They did,
that
way. And you know what? I watched it, and it didn't feel long except for the gift-giving stuff. Because the gift-giving stuff is always ridiculous. Like, here's a bunch of crap you're not going to keep. You're going to put it in a basement somewhere.
Right.
But I thought the speeches were all pretty good. I thought Danny, Doc was great. Wicks was fine. But, but it didn't seem too long. Put it that way.
All right. So we will be back. We will be talking to A'Sherrod Blakely coming up at 9 o'clock, but I have been handed James Corden audio that I would like to explore. I'll be listening coming up after the break for your chance to score a pair of tickets to the night one of Pearl Jam at Fenway Park Sunday, September 2nd. Tickets for both nights go on sale now at 10 a.m. Oh, I'm sorry, go on sale now. Go on sale at 10 a.m. Wednesday, February 21st through all Ticketmaster outlets. That's coming up at 8:50.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We were talking about, we're going to get that. That's going to be ours. And we're going to come back, and I'm going to sit here, and I'm going to talk about retiring Paul Pierce's number. We talked about this day. Sometimes in life, you got to dream it first before it happens. And we talked about it. It was in our minds. You think about Paul. He was a star here when I got here. And I decided to challenge him. For us, Paul has to play a little different. And at the beginning part, we bumped heads a couple of times. And I thank you, because we live in a time now where when a star player will allow a coach to coach him, that's why you win.
Doc Rivers taking a lot of credit there. Good for him.
I'm the reason he's so great.
You allowed me to coach you. That's what you did, is allow my genius to take over. Car number 10 right now to the Pride Motor Group contest line. 617-931-0985. We'll score a pair of tickets to night one of Pearl Jam at Fenway Park Sunday, September 2nd. Tickets for both nights go on sale at 10 a.m. Wednesday, February 21st through all Ticketmaster outlets. Now, we'll talk to A'Sherrod Blakely coming up about a little bit more about the Celtics, but this was... put to my attention.
I just want to mention things. There was, when we had Danny Ainge on Friday, he was talking about Paul Pierce's ceremony. We were asking about, what do you guys have planned? And Danny said, well, Doc's going to be flying in for this. I'm like, oh, that's pretty cool. Wow. And he goes, and Rondo. I'm like, that's fantastic. And Kendrick Perkins works for the Cavaliers. I keep forgetting that. So I was like, okay, well, there's a chance Kendrick Perkins will be there as well. I don't even know if he was. He definitely wasn't on the broadcast. And then I said, well, what about Ray Allen? Then Ray Allen's going to show up. He ain't got nothing to do. You know, Rondo's still playing. Doc's still coaching. You know, Ray Allen's going to be there, right? And he goes, well, we're not quite sure. And immediately I was like, if he blows this off after all this talk, what, about a month ago, that they had put everything behind them, all of the pettiness that happened from the Area 21 or whatever that thing was, where there was a reunion on TNT and... they were talking trash on Ray Allen and Ray Allen this and Ray Allen that. I was like, if he doesn't show up for this, and he's the most petty human being on the planet. And not only did Ray Allen not show up, but during the ceremony, actually, scratch that. I'm not sure if it was during the ceremony, but it was definitely the day of the ceremony. Ray Allen puts on Instagram a picture of him on a golf course with three other guys. And he says, congratulations to my man, George Lopez, for a second ever hole in one. And then he puts hashtag happy Sunday. I loved Ray Allen. I can't think of a more bitter human being on the planet right now. Why? How many years has it been?
everyone's apparently made up, kissed and made up, and that's what you do on Paul Pierce's day. This is how you... We're going to have him in studio, I think, in a month. I think next month he's going to be in studio with us.
He's on tour doing something?
He's on tour, like doing like a book tour. And
at the Wilbur, which I can only imagine is going to be
absolutely... reading aloud, right? In front of people?
And then they have a monitored. It says monitored question and answer.
Do you realize how, like, it's almost a joke at how forgiving Celtics fans are, right? Everyone jokes about green teamers and things like that. All he needed to do was not do that. And people would have been fine with him. He didn't even need to show up. He could have had a million excuses for not being there. But to rub it in this way and show yourself on a golf course with a D-list celebrity, listen, maybe he'll get on Funny You Should Ask, the television show with Louis Anderson.
I think that's a great probability.
But to do that, stop, Ray. What kind of reception do you think you're going to get in March when you show up? And I loved this guy. Celtics fans, how do you not love the guy? I mean, he was one of the massive reasons for all the success you had those years and the one championship. Ray Allen was the guy.
It's been 6 years. You know, you were out of favor. Remember when he came back, Garnett wouldn't look at him, and then the two sides apparently kissed and made up a couple of months ago?
Yes,
we were led to believe.
That's what we were led to believe after the whole
welcomed back into the family.
And then you do this.
And that was after the whole, you know, Rondo on national TV thing, you know, where Garnett was poking him to try and say stuff about Ray Allen, and he didn't. This thing's gone so far back and forth. And you know what? Ultimately, this is in Ray Allen's hands. Ultimately, his teammates had decided, okay, enough is enough. 5 years outside the family, we're willing to welcome you back in.
And
that's just dumb.
And I just want to say to Ray Allen,
why would you do that?
I want to say to him, you won. You won, okay? The whole you leaving to go to Miami for less money, all right. Everyone hated you for doing that. I still kind of hated you for doing that. But then you went to Miami, and you are the reason that they won that championship that year. You hit that shot that was the mega shot at Game 6 against the Spurs.
Yep.
That was the shot to win the championship. You won. Everyone who doubted you and said, I hate you for leaving the Celtics and taking half the money, you know what? You went and got your ring. You won. You don't have to say another thing, but yet you still pull petty crap like this even years after it happened, and it drives me insane. So I don't know what kind of what reaction you're going to end up getting when you come here in March. I'm looking forward to having you in studio just so I can ask you these kind of questions, because this is the most forgiving fan base in, I think, all of sports, and yet they hate you.
You know, honestly, considering what you're saying now, I bet you he cancels.
He probably will.
I bet you he cancels, and it is, I don't know, a week out. They'll just say, no, I'm not doing
it. It's a monitored Q&A. They're going to have vetted all the questions beforehand.
Well, also, everyone who's going to be going has to pay to get in.
Right, and also you're there because obviously you like Ray Allen in some way, shape, or form.
That means all the questions are going to get, you know, Ray, tell us why you're awesome.
Yes. If they're vetted beforehand.
Why you are awesome? What's it like hitting those shots?
It says it's a monitored question and answer.
I get it. And because of that, those are the questions you're going to get.
You still aren't excused from posting a picture of you golfing and happy Saturday. The only thing I can
You think he's going to answer that question if he comes in here?
I'm going to ask it.
I understand that, which is why he's going to cancel.
Well, here's the only thing that would not justify what he did, but you might understand a little bit, is that if he wasn't invited. Like, if he wasn't invited.
We were led to believe he was invited to everything.
That's what I had heard. That's what I thought that was the case. But if he wasn't invited, you could see maybe a little bit of him being kind of...
What we know is everybody had turned 180 degrees
and welcomed
him back with open arms.
That's what we've been told. But he just can't get out of his own way. And that's going to be interesting when he comes here in March, what kind of response he's going to get. Because all you had to do was just not do that, and you would have been fine.
All right, we will return in just a moment.
Tucker and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Nash, far point, McQuaid bounce, they score! Out in front, he changed direction, clangs off the post, and in, 4-3 Bruins.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. The Bruins played like absolute crap last night, and Anton Khudobin saved their asses.
Yes, he did. He did.
Anton Khudobin stopped a breakaway in the beginning of each period. They just were. By the way, Taylor Hall all of a sudden is saying, "Hey, look at me! I'm the kid I was supposed to be." And it was weird. Like, I'm like, Daryl Hall's on New Jersey?
Yeah.
I know, he's getting moved around.
That was supposedly one of the most lopsided trades ever, because you remember New Jersey sent some defenseman to, I forget the kid's name, sent it to Edmonton.
Right.
Some defenseman who wasn't even a first-line defenseman.
Right.
And it was considered a steal of a deal.
So the fourth line kept him, who'd opened in the fourth line kept him in that game for two periods. And then ultimately they win.
They were getting weird. Bruins got a couple of really weird goals.
The McQuaid goal.
No, I'm talking about in the first period. I mean, Krug's was, he banked it in off a defenseman. That was the first one.
Are you talking about that killer from, like from the blue line?
No. Right at the beginning of the game, Krug scored from behind the net.
Oh, yeah. Right, he went around. Right. Well, I mean, you know, that was a good play. He was out of place. I'm going to score on you.
Okay.
It was a screw up by the goalie, but the McQuaid goal was, yeah. I thought you were talking about the rocket from Krug. No, that was excellent.
And there was a beautiful turtle at the end of the game when Quaid went out.
Just picked up a guy and, like, held him by the, you know, like a lion would hold his kid by, like, the scruff of the neck.
And the guy just went
put
full,
his hands over his head.
Lemieux on the guy and just turtled at him. But here we are.
They haven't lost on the road since December 4th. And that, by the way, and guess where that was? Nashville. Best home ice advantage in all the NHL, from what we've heard. Because apparently all these young hockey players go and these women in Nashville just love these hockey guys, and they got all the Broadway honky-tonks there, and they all go out and drink. That was until Las Vegas came around. Everyone said that Nashville was the best home ice advantage. But it doesn't matter. On the road, these guys are, they've been phenomenal. They've been phenomenal. It doesn't matter where they play. And it's at the point now where there's serious consideration as to whether or not these guys are going to win a Stanley Cup.
And there's also serious consideration if Bergeron's the MVP. If Bergeron is going to win MVP, go ahead.
One other thing, Joe Haggerty was reporting last night that the NHL trade deadline is 2 weeks from today.
Yes.
And the Bruins apparently have interest in a power forward, Patrick Maroon, in Edmonton. I think Maroon has 40 points, 13 goals, 27 assists. But the most important thing is he's a rental. And according to Haggerty, the expectation is it won't cost the Bruins any of their young players, and it won't cost them a first-round draft pick to get him. That's the most important thing.
Will Chiarelli do business with the Bruins?
It's not covered by Haggerty, but I would think why not?
Okay.
I mean, if you're gonna get something for somebody who's on his way out the door anyway, I mean, if you get a second and a player, I mean, if that's the expectation.
Well, there's
but Maroon is 6'6", 227. He's a big guy.
By the way, Jimmy Hayes made a play last night.
I know. I saw that. Yeah.
She's like, you're on the ice for a decent team. Mark, go ahead.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Good morning.
Hey, what's up, Mark?
Hey, just a little clarity with the Ray Allen situation and why people are pissed at him. As far as him leaving, that was just the final nail in the coffin. Where it started was they had a championship that they had in their hands in 2010 in Game 7, and he shot, I think, 20%. He was like 3 for 14. And they were up by 12 in the third quarter. I mean, I don't know if anybody remembers that game, but he disappeared in that game.
The bottom line is, game seven,
when you had the championship in your hands, the bottom line is Ray Allen has always thought of himself as a go-to guy or the marquee guy, and he never was. He was always a support guy. And the final nail in the coffin was him leaving. When the pressure's on, he would never want to take that role. And that's why people, I think, as far as I'm concerned, as a longtime Celtics fan, that's why people are pissed at him.
Yeah,
and Game 7, I'll never forget it. You have a championship in your hands. He was missing open jumpers. You just watch that game.
Take a look at how Kobe Bryant did in that game. I mean, Bryant was just as bad, if not worse. The reason the Lakers won that game was better world peace.
Yeah.
Same with Pierce. Pierce shot like 35% because those two guys, both Kobe and Pierce, were being focused. The defense was focused on him. Allen was wide open that whole fourth quarter, and he couldn't hit a jumper. Watch that game, and you'll see that.
Hey, Mark,
I'm pissed at him.
Mark, what the hell happened with that thing where he was being catfished by the dude? Remember Ray Allen just got in trouble where there was some guy who was saying, right.
I don't know about that one.
It was George Lopez.
About that one.
Yeah, it was George Lopez the whole time. Yeah, so Mark, he's persona non grata with you. I mean, if he would have shown up for Paul Pierce's thing, I was thinking about this. If he would have shown up for Paul Pierce's retirement yesterday, Don't you think that would have been a moment, like a we forgive you type of moment, where the crowd stands up and goes, ah, bygones are bygones. He hugs Paul Pierce.
I'd be okay with that.
Yeah.
I'm not, I don't want to perpetuate it, but he's perpetuating it.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
And it's not him leaving. That's not why I just won't forget that Game 7. I'm telling you.
I'm a little less critical on that. I'm not going to hate him for that. Too. People have bad games. I mean, they do.
Kobe, by the way, was 6 of 24 that night.
Yeah. I mean, it was just.
And a lot of people shot poorly. The final score of the game was 83-79.
But just think about that, John and Fred. If Ray Allen would have shown up yesterday and would have been sitting right alongside Rondo.
Yeah,
no, not only booed, no. But everyone this morning would have been like, oh, what a cool moment. Ray Allen, the prodigal son, returns. Everything's A-OK.
They're all going on vacation together.
I'm not kidding you. That would have been, then he would, once again, would be loved in this town. Uh-huh. All he had to do was not do what he did and post that stupid Instagram of him with George Lopez on the golf course.
I don't even know if it occurred to him, the Instagram thing.
Oh, are you kidding me? Of course. The most petty guy on the planet.
You get caught up with the lope.
Of course he did that on purpose. The lope.
You get caught up with the
G-Lope. What's up, G-Lope?
Or just the Ez.
G-Pez.
G-Ez. Gez.
Jez.
G-Pez.
All right.